The most recent estimate suggests there are about 100 million homeless people worldwide. The problem is, of course, everywhere, but we're heading to the streets of Glasgow. Skippering is a colloquial British term for rough sleeping. It's used by a particular group of people in Scotland's largest city that have all been affected by homelessness. They really want the world to hear what they hear, close up. So they recorded the soundtrack to their lives, in hostels, on pavements, without a permanent place to stay. The result is a sonic meditation on homelessness, sometimes scary, sometimes amusing, usually pretty cold, and definitely raw. So no holds barred on the strong language. Here's Skippering.
That's the first thing. The wee birds will be starting to sing. This is a very comforting sign because you know that the daylight's not far away. I've made it through another night and I'm still alive. So it's a very comforting sound. And you know that soon the dawn's going to break, and then you've got places to go, things to do, you know, in the daylight, knowing the darkness, because the darkness is the killer, because you don't know what's out there all the time.
Somebody goes round every door, go to do the death check.
Aye, the death check, aye, I do,
aye. In the hostels, they check you every morning, what, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, so you've got no choice but to wake up at that time, every day.
Chaps every door to get a response. If you don't get a response, the doors get kicked in. Aye. Automatic. There's no waiting. Police get called, ambulance gets called, the door goes in.
Some places check you like twice a day, other places check you just once a day. Outside? In the middle of winter, freezing cold in Scotland.
That's how you're numb, you don't feel it anymore. Oh, this is freezing. After so long, you're thinking, no, this is just normal.
That's what you do. And like you say, you adapt to it, and it's you just don't feel it in the end. It's only when it's right, right bitter cold. You know, when it gets down to -5, -10, stuff like that, then you notice it. You do notice it then. I mean, the wee sleeping bags all got frost through it.
Sitting in a park bench in between two bridges, St George's Bridge and the railway bridge leaving from Central Station in Glasgow. Blue sky with clouds, It's a brisk, sunny Glasgow day in the middle of winter, looking at the River Clyde, always flowing outwards and onwards. In the past, I've been homeless myself, also known as skippering, living actually rough, sleeping in doorways, rubber banks, underneath bridges, back alleys, anywhere out of sight, out of mind.
Skippering?
I think it derives from skips.
Skippering?
People used to sleep in skips. I think that's where it derives from. So when you say you're skippering, you're finding a wee place that's quite quiet, you know.
Or it could be like you're skipping from place to place, skipping here, skipping there.
I think people in that situation don't plan too far ahead to just take each day as it comes.
When you're skipping on the floor, you're actually down on your knees. You hear things from a different perspective. You get more attuned to things, things you would not normally hear.
You know right away, by the sounds. After so long, you can actually tell what ambulance is coming. That's an ambulance. That's a fire engine. That's a police motor. And there's not much of a difference between them. But you can tell right away.
The morning is most difficult because you wake up, if your previous day was like crap, your morning also will be like crap, you know. But after things start going, you're busy and you go and do things. Sometimes things go well and you get more motivation.
For me, I went to library this morning and I meet friend. Yeah. I get my lunch at Social Bite, of course, yeah. That's it.
We're inside Social Bite.
This is carrot and potato with Scottish haggis and a plate of rice mixed with fruits and lime. I've been eating haggis, I love it. Great.
Social Bite is a small chain of shops in Glasgow and other cities in Scotland and spreading. Quite a few of the staff here used to be homeless or come from a homeless background. Any paying customers can eat here, but at certain times of the day, they provide free food for homeless people.
Yeah, I visit Social Bite Monday to Friday. Quality of the food is it's a finnam. Finnam. That's good English for it.
They are very nice and they treat us good. We appreciate that. And that's good for homeless people.
Social Bite is located in the centre of Glasgow. There's another organisation called Lodging House Mission in the East End. It's a charity that offers all kind of support, including a hot meal.
Ten past 12, the place is starting to get busy, a queue for food, people sitting together, they know each other.
It's pretty vibrant at the moment.
It's busy, noisy, yeah.
Everybody putting fuel in the engine to try and survive.
Walking in there, you've got different people maybe speak loud. You hear the kitchen, somebody come in, you hear people saying, how you doing? And somebody's maybe shouting for a roll-up or tobacco, you know, blah, blah, blah.
It's just a wally sound, isn't it?
It's a rabble.
It's just a wally sound.
It's just a noise, isn't it? Everybody talking.
It's quite welcoming, the noise, sometimes. Yeah. Look over and you know it's somebody you know.
I've met a couple of good friends in here through this place.
The first time I came here, I found it very intimidating, the noise. It was quite busy. But once you get used to the blur, you're picking up wee bits of conversations, and then it's... you get relaxed a wee bit then, you know, because I found Glaswegians, their conversation always sounds aggressive. You know, even when they meet each other. Hello there! And I always think, well, you know, is he going to hammer him or what? And they know they're the best of pals. But for an outsider, hearing that for the first time, that is quite frightening.
It's the middle of the afternoon. Charities in Glasgow are starting to close their doors now. There's only so much they can provide. Everybody is just wandering the streets trying to find a safe and dry environment. Libraries, shops, just go walking, wandering until the next charities open their doors, night shelters. So a lot of people do walk around city centre begging, try to get a meal for that night. We're in the start of Buchanan Street precinct, and to my right there's a homeless person. There's an older gentleman, mid-40s to 50s. I think he had serious medical problems because his head was shaking. So you shouldn't be on the streets, you should be in a hospital somewhere, being looked after. Go on most streets in the city centre and you will find a homeless person. They're out sitting on a bin outside shops. There's another homeless person with a cup in hand and a sleeping bag round their legs, shaking, trying to keep warm. Most people just walk by and oblivion to it, but there's always a few charitable people.
People with dogs on the street, even worse. Got to feed the dog as well.
Even before you get down an alleyway, you're listening before you're looking. If there's anything down there, if there's already someone in there. And then when you get down there, then you use your hearing. You don't use your eyes that much. It is your hearing that you use a lot. You make yourself small and quiet, so you're not noticed. You're listening all the time.
It's like an animal thing. Your all senses adapt to it.
I remember, like, the first couple of nights in the countryside, you don't hear any noises. The only noise you'll probably get is if there's a high wind. You don't hear foxes.
I heard foxes, man. It was scary because they sound like somebody's getting murdered or something. Aye, screeching women.
In the city, I hear foxes all the time, but in the countryside, no. The only noise you get is, like, if there's a high wind and the trees next to where I lived, you know, you'd hear that rustling through. Occasionally, we'd get the owls hooting, but that would be it, nothing else. That's the one thing I've noticed about an owl. You can be that close to you and see when it takes off, not a sound. It's totally silent. You don't hear them. Everybody thinks because owls have got big eyes, it's all eyesight. It's no. It's their hearing. I mean, at 20 feet up in a tree, it can hear a shrew's heartbeat. And it can actually tell if the shrew is pregnant as well. Is that no incredible? Because it'd be two heartbeats on it.
Sure.
Aye. Scientifically proved.
Silence is no very good because it makes you think too much. You can hear your own thoughts. A wee bit of noise, you can concentrate on that noise and it gets you away from your thoughts. I'm awake all night and I try to sleep all day, but I can't do that anymore, so just struggle to get to sleep, man. You know what I mean? Terrible sleeper. I don't know why that is, man. Maybe I've smoked too much cannabis, you know what I mean? I wake up and I kind of get back to sleep, so I smoke another joint and I go back to sleep for 2 hours or something. And then you start thinking of, like, the past and all that, and that's probably how I kind of get to sleep, because I stick my head in the covers and I'm just like, no, man. Just thinking of hundreds of mad stuff, man.
It's just turning 8 o'clock in the evening in the north side of Glasgow, just outside a church that provides a night shelter for the homeless in Glasgow as well as foreign nationals, etc. It's getting quite busy so far. All the staff are getting ready for the night ahead. They're unloading one or two bits and bobs, or blankets, pillows.
Salam. Yeah, thank you.
We open at 8 o'clock at night and we close at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have on average between 15 and 25 men stay here every night. They are referred to us by different agencies such as the Red Cross and the Refugee Council. They're all destitute and they're not allowed any recourse to public funds. So the guys here have absolutely nothing. They're not allowed any money, they're not allowed any housing. And so we get them hot food, clothes, and we provide somewhere safe for them to leave their stuff during the day. But unfortunately, we only run from 8 till 8 and they have to leave the building at 8 o'clock in the morning, which on winter nights is a bit grim. So it's not, we're just sort of like a step up from being sleeping on the street, but it makes a huge difference. And we see this amazing, when guys first come here, they're all sort of, they won't look anyone in the eye and they're all hunched up and they all sit looking scared, worried about whether they're going to get attacked or anything. And then within 3 or 4 days of getting some hot food and relaxing in the atmosphere here. They just become
more human.
They sort of grow 6 inches. You can see them sort of like get bigger, and they start laughing, and then they start joking, and then they start being a real pain in the neck and being annoyed. Yep. No, you see this amazing transition as guys realise that they can relax a bit, you know, and put down their defences, and it's good. Yep. It's really profound. It's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
It would be nice if we were allowed to work, though. If we were allowed to work, all of us would be working by now, you know what I mean? But we are not allowed to, so we are limited to just wandering around. But it's what it is, man. I'm actually planning to finish up my degree and go back home when home is safe. Nigeria. We have this small Boko Haram problem, this terrorism, and they're a pretty bad problem. And I believe in a couple of years' time they will be dealt with, but for the meantime, we'll have to stay in our safe haven here, in the shelter. I mean, yeah. Here, it's not actually quite bad. It's very surprising how people get along. You come here, you see people of different places, Bulgaria, Nigeria, Iran, Iraq, whatever. But everything is good, you know?
If you're out in the streets and if you get caught with a knife, you'd go to jail. So you're as well having nothing. But if you've got your wits running about you, you don't need a weapon. All you need to do is learn how to talk to people. Tell them, fuck off, in no uncertain manners. Just tell them straight, beat it. You think yous are? There's no enough of yous. Mm-hmm. Just be full of bravado. Because if you're full of bravado, they're thinking, what's he going to do here? If you don't show any fear, they're not going to annoy you. See, the minute you start showing fear and trembling and things like that, they know they've got a victim.
If you don't have nowhere to go to sleep, you have to be ruthless. Not ruthless, but you've got to sleep somewhere warm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's cold, and you know what I'm saying? Streetwise, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you've got to be streetwise, yeah.
I've never been to sleep on the streets. I walk about and that, no. Like, for what, 2 nights or something, didn't go to sleep, just walked about. No. I was only 16, like, I mean, so I was scared. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I didn't know what to do, you know what I mean? Try to go to sleep on a park bench, we just didn't have them, so just wandered about, man. Just fell asleep now and again for about 5-10 minutes. I'm like sitting down and I just fall asleep and I'm about to stay back up.
Thank you.
The biggest fear is to get those maybe one or two possessions that you do have left for your previous life, i.e. a family member's chain or something, or a picture frame with a very special picture in it that's close to your heart. All that stuff getting stolen from you, everything else you've been stolen, that'd be the last straw. And basically fear of dying. You're seen and not heard, hoping sometimes for somebody just to turn around and give you a smile and just ask you how you're doing. Just that slight human contact to feel human again. Because 98% of the time you do feel like a ghost with a heartbeat. Just floating around.
Skippering, recorded entirely on location in Glasgow, Scotland. We heard Alex, Peter, Jason, Alec, Caroline, Arta, Phil, and several people who chose to remain anonymous. The final voice you heard was that of James Blakely. This was James's debut piece for radio. With talent like that, watch out, world. He co-produced Skippering with Steve Urquhart. Steve is an old friend of both Soundproof and Radiotonic. Find more of his works on our website, and there you can also go behind the scenes into how Skippering was made. abc.net.au/rn/soundproof. James and Steve would love to hear your thoughts on their work. Find them on Twitter @listentosteve and us @rn_cau.